back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. KK and Lo are back from the holiday break.
What?
And we're in person recording too, so double.
We might be a little hyped up because, you know, we said we were taking a break for, you know, 2 weeks. I literally had to take a break from KK. Not had to. We just were so freaking busy with life. We didn't even see each other. Like, we touched base quickly through a text message or Snap or quick little phone call. But it was just like, blah, 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 blah.
We were just singing the Parasite, yeah. The Parasite Nicole songs. For reference. No, seriously, it was so... Holidays are fun, but they're so tiring and so busy because there's so much going on. And it's like I love them, but I'm also cool when they're over. You know what I mean? Because it's like life is just going to chill out a little bit now.
Did you see, it was a clip on, you know, the Reels or whatever through Facebook, Instagram, whatever you have, right?
Yeah.
And it's Ellen DeGeneres, an old one, and she's playing one of her little games with Pink. And she says, the last time you got her, what was it? Oh, see, now I just sound stupid because I can't remember.
No, that's okay.
But she's talking to, anyway, she asked her, like, and she's like, when I slashed Carrie's tire, and she's like, or when I slashed a tire, and Ellen looked at her, she's like, when was this? She's like, not that long ago.
Oh, I could see that.
And she's like, whose tire? She's like, Carrie's. She's like, Thanksgiving is stressful. And she's like, how many did you slice? She's like, well, I got through the first one, but then I ran out of air on the steam out of the second one, and I cut my hand, and like, it's a whole thing. And
oh,
I was just
gosh.
Dying. She's just like, Thanksgiving is stressful.
It is, so I don't blame her.
Holidays are stressful, that's what she said.
I've never, gotten to the point where I've slashed anyone's tires, but they definitely are very stressful.
It was her own husband.
It's so funny. Oh my gosh.
How
are your holidays, Lo? No tire slashing for you?
No, but I do have a nail in my tire. I got to get a new tire.
Damn.
So, the air is constantly, like, mm-hmm. every 5 days I got to add air to it. But they were good. A lot of football, college football. We had our niece and nephew over from Pennsylvania. They're Penn Staters and Marines. And so what up, Nathan and Gabby Smith, if you're listening, which you're not, but what up, shout out. They came and stayed with us. So that was fun. Found out that my mother-in-law got a new toy poodle.
So cute.
So it was like 11 weeks, and I went to pick it up like it was Lola, and it was like, whoa.
So light.
So it was only 11 weeks. They're very, very cute.
Aww.
Her name is Millie. Millie Miller.
That's cute. I like that name.
And then...
That is adorable.
Let's see... What else happened over the holidays? Stuff happened. It was New Year's. We played games. We had drinks. Like I said, we watched a lot of college football. Watched the Lions. Like, man, they're just...
They're doing great.
They might go all the way. I don't care what people say, man. They might go all the way, okay?
Like, they almost did last year.
I know.
So I feel like that probably motivated them. They're like, come on, we can freaking do this.
I know. I like watching St. Brown. He's so funny. He's got the dance moves. But for Christmas, my daughter, I just want to say, like, bless her heart. I probably will read it. She got me a book, actually two. And I love it, not because I would go buy it myself, but I love it because when I opened them, it really made me feel like she sees me.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of like silly because it's not anything like deep, but like the first book I opened, it was the book of the OC,
show.
And I was
that's perfect for you.
And it's just so funny because like I haven't watched it in a while, but she somehow remembered, like, yeah. that was, you know, and probably because I still say welcome to the OC bitch a lot. But... And then she also got me, which I cracked up when I opened it. And I probably will read this one because it will be interesting. She got me Mike Sorrento's Reality Check, Making the Best of a Situation
memoir. No freaking way. He has a book. I didn't even know he had a
yes,
book.
Yes, it talks, it says how he overcame addiction, loss, and his prison stay. So that'll probably be very interesting to read.
Oh, you're for sure
going to
read that.
So
yeah.
I will read that one. I'll probably even read the OC one, too.
Is the OC one, like, just, like, behind-the-scenes stuff or whatever?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's a book of the series. You know how they, like...
Oh, yeah.
So there's probably stuff in it that didn't make the show, because...
Right, they cut stuff out.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I just, when I opened up that one, I laughed, and I was like, oh, my God. And it's not just because I love Jersey Shore. I don't know. It's just, like, I don't talk about Jersey Shore every day. We talk about it.
Yeah.
When we're together, but... so it made me kind of feel kind of... good or like
yeah no that's awesome because it's like
that she saw that she's like oh my god my mom like little things like that she remembers
right
you know
that's sweet
so I thought that was kind of cool
that's awesome oh my gosh well you have to let us know once you read the books especially I am that sounds cool the Mike book but
and
let
then
us know about that
her dad got me although I've never gone to any of his shows which I probably would but there's a lot of controversy behind them so I don't know but her dad got me an autographed copy of the Matt Rife see I'm like messing up the name so I got a Matt Rife novel as well
oh, okay he has a book too
yeah I think it's like Your Mom's Gonna Love Me I think it's called
okay
something like that
that's funny
and I guess it's autographed I mean, he didn't personally go get it autographed. They probably
like
ordered
sign it
them,
and
like,
then order it, yeah.
Whatever it is.
That's cool.
So I got some reading to do.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm going to catch up to Gabby. I found out that my niece read 65 books last year, and she's aiming for 85 this year.
Now, that is a truly unattainable goal for me.
Charlotte's like, how many did you read last year? I'm like, 2?
Yeah.
3? It was busy. I had some shit going on.
Yeah.
But I am trying to get back into it. That is my New Year's resolution, is to try to get back to reading more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do more brain exercises. I want to put the phone down. I want to stop getting so stuck on TikTok videos and Facebook videos. And
yeah.
I want to do less electronics and more... I want to be more present with books or crafts or... So that's kind of my New Year's thing.
Yeah.
It's like... do more mind things.
That's good, because I know you love books, too, so it's...
I mean,
you know,
I got a few.
Yeah, just a few, you know, if you guys can see. Oh, no, that's perfect, though. That's awesome. Well, hey, your goal might be easier if they're banning TikTok, like they say that they are.
They've been saying that for years,
I know.
So.
They have a date now, but it's not still confirmed. I'm like, that's very soon. That's, like, next week, basically.
Which, in all honesty, they could do that because now it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's on, everybody has Reels now, so you really don't need TikTok.
Right. No, exactly. Because it's all distributed, basically, to just the other apps. So it's like, yeah, I kind of like TikTok's, like, layout or whatever better, but you can essentially find all the same stuff on
all the same people I follow on TikTok are on Reels.
Yeah, they're all over everything else, too, so... But I'll have to make sure if they do delete it to find the people that I really like on TikTok and find them on the other platforms before I forget their name. And then I'm like, dang it. I'm like, I want to find their videos.
So what was your highlight Christmas excitement present? What did?
Oh, the present? Well, I had 8,000 parties. I still, guys, I mean, you're hearing this after the fact because, you know, we pre-record these. I have my final Christmas party tomorrow. So I have one more.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of the 8,000 that I've had. So, yeah, 8 million parties, basically. But no, Brett's dad and stepmom got me, I didn't even tell you this, I don't think, got me it's like a portable tent sauna because I'm obsessed with, I love saunas. I miss Hot Works. I know you still go, but, like, there's not one near me, like, whatever. I don't go anymore, but, like, I liked it. And so it's, like, a little, like, personal sauna that uses, like, heat and, like, water.
Is it
vapor.
Wood?
No. It's, like, a pop-up tent, basically.
Okay.
And it has, like, a heater that distributes, like, water vapor that's heated. So it's not quite, like, a...
But But you could go in there, like, meditate or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
you want to do.
For sure. Okay. And it still gives you the heat and, like, all of that. And it's, oh, that was probably my favorite.
That's very cool. Yeah. Well, you do Pilates and stuff at home sometimes.
Yeah, but I couldn't do it in that because it's not big enough.
No, that's not what I was going for.
Oh, okay. I was like, that would be a little difficult in that.
I was saying, like, if you do your Pilates at home, which Crystal is a very much more motivated and structured on that end.
Not the last 2 weeks, girl. Let me just say.
I can't do it at home. I have to go there to do the yoga.
It is better going there, for some reason.
Now, my husband did get me, well, the family. We got a Peloton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I've been on it, not as much as I've been wanting to. Still winding down from the holidays. We had house guests. I think from the Sunday after Christmas until the Friday after New Year's. Charlotte had a friend here for 3 days straight, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then we had Nathan and Gabby here. And so it was just like, and then Bella came, and then Jazz came. And it was just
nonstop
with people. Like,
yeah.
The last couple days was the first time where it was just like,
just you guys, basically.
Holy shit. Like,
You're probably like, my house seems so quiet now.
Oh, the Friday when everybody left. Even my daughter wasn't home because she'd stayed the night at a friend's house. Like, they all left. And it was before I went to work. I'm just looking at the two dogs and I'm like, whoa.
Like, you're like silent.
It hasn't been this quiet and empty in like so long. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That is so funny.
It was nice though. Like, everybody was pleasant and there was no issues. And Nathan and Gabby were like the cleanest guests. You want house guests? The ones out of the Marines, you ain't gotta do shit.
Right.
They used a coffee cup, they rinsed it and put it back. The blankets that they used on the couch just to watch a movie, they folded it up and set it next to them when they were done. The bed was made every single day after they got up out of bed. When they left, they made it the final time. And I'm like, like, my kids don't
even
do
this. 10 out of 10 house guests.
Right?
For real.
I text Gabby, I was like, you guys were the easiest house guests I've ever had.
Yeah, that's nice. That's awesome. Man, holiday craziness, guys. Wild but fun.
It was. It was a good time. Family, friends, alcohol, football. Oh, yeah. It was all there. So.
Yep. Check, check, and check. All the good stuff that you need.
I got me a curling iron. It was the ones from the Bionic, the ones they use in the salons.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I originally bought one for my daughter, and then I bought her the wrong size.
Okay.
So then I had to order another one.
Oh.
And since I paid for, well, Pat bought the first one. And then when I realized I ordered the wrong one, I ordered it through a firm, which is basically like layaway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I think I'll just keep this one for myself since my hair is thinner. So I cut the quarter inch one and I reordered her the full inch one.
Okay.
So it was kind of like
a surprise,
a little bit of a Christmas present to myself.
A bonus Christmas gift to yourself. Yeah. Those are always nice. Yep. Have you used it yet?
Once for New Year's, I curled it. It did curl very nicely.
Did it?
And then I even bought that comb that you, it's like the wide combs that they use to make it look wavy.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I did something wrong because then I went,
really?
I'm like,
it was more poofy.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, what's happening? So I think next time I might just use my fingers to kind of just
zhuzh it out or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be like, zhuzh, 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 zhuzh.
It's so good.
That song's going to be stuck in your head for days. Because once you hear it or sing it, it sticks.
It really is. And we were saying, too, like, I think they're, like, recording it. Like, making it, like,
a reboot.
Yeah.
That's how the whole thing started. Welcome to the conversation.
Yeah.
Actually, it started with Call Her Daddy. And
it spiraled from there. This is what happened.
I was like, listen to the episode of Nicole and Paris on Call Her Daddy. You're welcome.
Yep.
And so,
oh, and another gift that I love, real quick, Low made me this beautiful, it's a, what's the size, would you say, of the water bottle? It's like a Stanley-style water bottle.
But it's not Stanley,
but it's the style of it.
What size is that one?
This one is a 40 fluid ounce, so that one has to be like 80. Even maybe 100?
Maybe, I don't know, 100.
No, maybe 60?
64, maybe.
It's pretty big, but it's like the perfect size for me because she knows I'm always chugging on my water. But the best part about it was she freaking put on there herself, like she decorated it. I don't know how you do it because I'm not a crafty person. But like it had bedazzles.
Stickers.
Okay, see, bitch, I don't know how this works. But they had bedazzled on it, and it said, it says Creepies, it has our names on it, it has horror, wine, and crime, like HWC on it. It was perfect.
The funniest part, though.
Oh my gosh, yeah, so I look at, like, I open the bag and the water bottle's in there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome, this is perfect, I'm gonna drink from this every day. And then,
she gives me her stuff, we hug it out, you know, go to dinner.
Hours go by, literally hours, and then we're just randomly talking about stuff. Like hair, I think we were talking about. And then I just see a light bulb go off on her face. And I'm like, what just happened?
I was like, and she's like, what? I was like, come with me now.
We go downstairs and she goes, I forgot to tell you to open the water bottles. So I open it and there was more stuff in there. There was the Kinder chocolates, which are my favorite. She had, oh my gosh, a t-shirt of our favorite band, can you guys guess? New Kids on the Block. We've only been to how many concerts now? 3, right? Didn't we go to 3?
Did you go to 3 with me, or is it just 2?
No, I think we've gone to 3. Oh no, we've only gone to 2, actually. But it's going to be 3 this upcoming summer.
As long as they don't stay at Vegas all summer, which I don't see them doing that, because every time they come to Detroit, it is wild. Like,
yeah, I feel like they would make a lot of money doing like a summer tour again.
Yeah, especially with all these 80s and 90s, like all of my generation stuff, they're coming back. Like, yeah. Me and my sister went to see Missy Elliott and Busta Rhymes and Sierra, and now like TLC's been there, and Vogue's been a couple times. Salt and Pepper has been out a few times.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that generation is starting to, like, I just saw an interview with Lil Wayne, so I'm like, I wonder if he's going to start to maybe put some stuff back out.
Ooh, I could see that.
I feel like with all of maybe the Diddy stuff, like, and everybody that's in trouble and all that kind of stuff, maybe some of the other people are starting to be like, I don't know, I could be wrong, but.
No, I get that. I could see how that would be a thing.
But even before the Diddy stuff, I remember I predicted it. Like, there's an episode, if you go back.
Oh, I remember.
And I was like, mark my words, one of these days, I said, all of our people are coming back. They're taking it over. They're going to tell all these people to, like, sit down. You guys have abused your power, and you don't know what you're doing. So, like, Missy Elliott, Sierra. And then I went to Missy Elliott concert, like, a year later, 6 months later.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm telling you, like,
guys, our people are coming back. Guys, we were talking about this too. Lo is psychic. Like, seriously. Like, I'm not even kidding. She's freaking psychic.
I had a dream.
Yeah. She seriously has, like, these, like, connections where she, like, gets all these signs. And, like, she, like, I don't even know. Like, all these things come together in different, like, areas. And
except when they're crazy faces that come in my dreams at night.
Well, yeah, we don't like those. Those are scary.
That hasn't happened in a minute, though.
That's good.
But, no, I had a dream, like, 4 days ago that my niece Peyton, which is Gabby's sister who was here, she was painting, and I walked over to her, and I don't know why, but she painted a big, huge portrait of Biggie Smalls, which makes no sense, like, at all. And then fast forward 4 days, and when I tell you, it was pure coincidence. My daughter and her friends now are on a Chad Michael Murray kick.
So random, by the way.
Which, he is a little cutie patootie.
Yeah.
However, he's circulating now with the teenagers. We watched Married Gentleman with him. He's a topless dancer. It's kind of like a more PG version of Magic Mike in a Hallmark movie. And I was like, oh, so, okay. I was like, well, if you really like that, and you're really into Chad Michael Murray, well, check this out. And I put on One Tree Hill. My daughter instantly got sucked into it, right? She's all about, like, she wants to be Brooke Davis now. And, like, well, Brooke's best friend is Peyton. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Peyton, you know, which I knew because I watched the series twice. But I totally forgot. It wasn't until, like, episode 3 or 4 it comes out where Peyton is drawing and painting, and she's very, very good. She's like an artist. And in every episode, she's drawing and painting. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, did I like somehow dreamed and then made myself go watch this with my daughter? I don't know.
Right, like it's a weird connection. Like to just stumble across that so close together. Like to have that random dream and then for that, like, because that's so specific too. Like it's not like a weird or like far off or whatever. It's very specific. So
I don't know where Biggie Smalls ties in, but
yeah, that part, you know, that just came from you. But I don't know, man. I swear, Lowe's got all the I don't know what you would call it, spiritual knowingness, I guess. Sure, we'll go with that.
Oh. He's got a cookbook out.
Who is that? Oh my gosh.
Vinny.
She showed me the book Charlie got her, and Vinny's keto cookbook popped up. Of course he has that. Jeez.
All right. Well, enough about our babble. Well, we tried to keep it, you know, just a couple minutes, but we haven't talked to you guys in a while, and we just wanted you to catch up and feel our feels.
Yeah, we haven't. We were giving you a little holiday catch up since we've been gone and what's been going on. So if you stuck around through that to hear, thank you. You are a true peeps, or true creeps.
And then you'll get to hear all about Amy, because Kay's gonna bring us down now that we're all up here. She's gonna bring us down to here, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of jumping ahead, so this story. Jumping ahead in time, because, you know, we just had New Year's, but Valentine's Day is the next holiday, right?
Yep.
Yep. So, jumping ahead to the next holiday, this story takes place on Valentine's Day. It is about a girl named Amy Harwick, and on Valentine's Day, her roommate, who was terrified, frantically called 911. In 2020, by the way, she called 911 to report that she was being attacked in her Hollywood Hills home in Los Angeles. So, Michael Herman says, I was downstairs. I heard screaming. I know she's being attacked. I heard her going to the ground. And this is what he told 911 dispatchers about Amy. So when officers got to her home, it was about 1 a.m. So now, you know, it was past the midnight mark. So now it's February 15th, the next day. They found Amy was a popular Hollywood sex therapist. She was on the ground outside of the house under a third floor balcony. She had defensive wounds on her hands and her arms. The glass doors in the front yard were broken. Black beads from her crucifix necklace were scattered all around her room, and a syringe filled with a mysterious looking liquid was also found on her balcony. She was still alive when police got there, but unfortunately, Amy did die in the hospital just a few hours later. A former CBS reporter, Lena Nugent, said she was, you know, somewhat of a celebrity. At one point, she was engaged to Drew Carey, you know, the guy who was the host of The Price is Right. And what was that other show he was on? Was
so Drew funny. Carey?
No, it was the one where they would, like, do skits.
Oh.
Whose line is it
He
anyway?
Did have a show, the Drew Carey.
Oh, he did.
Sitcom, Drew Carey.
Oh, okay, so that makes sense, too. I was thinking of Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Oh, I was, okay. No, there was a TV so series funny. Comedy, like, Drew Carey.
You're, like, the one that's named after him. But, yeah, I guess she was engaged to him at one point. And she was, like, very well-known in the Hollywood community with different celebrities as being like one of the most used sex therapists, I guess. So as police spoke to Amy's family and friends, it quickly became clear who their main suspect in her murder was. And Amy was 38 years old at the time of her death. So Scott Masterson, who was an LAPD homicide detective, he says, during our interviews with Amy's friends, several of them told us that Amy had suspicions that she was being stalked by Gareth. Now, Gareth Pursehouse, he was a 45-year-old man, and he was Amy's ex-boyfriend. It's always the ex-boyfriend, I swear. So even though the two, they broke up literally not like, you know, a month before, like 2 weeks before, where like the passion is still like strong and crazy. The two broke up 8 years prior to her dying. 8 years. It's a long time to let something simmer. I mean,
some people try to hold on and, you know, still think there's a chance, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he was patient, I guess. You could say that. But police said that Gareth terrorized Amy before her murder, and that she even kind of predicted her own death. Her friend Robert Koshlin said she really was worried at that point with everything going on. She said, if anything happens to me, it's him. So she was telling people straight up, like, that's how scared she was about this guy. Like, she was like, if, you know, if anything shows up or anything, if I go missing or I turn up like dead, like, she's straight up telling people it's him. So kind of a little bit about their backstory together. Amy and Gareth, they dated from 2009 to 2012, so they were together for a few years. They met at a Hollywood party. She was working at that point as a hostess to pay her way through therapy school. Her friend Grace says Gareth was very loud, fun, smiley. He was one of the nightlife photographers. It was very clear that he was taken by her because he would always want to take a lot of pictures of her. But Amy's friends told police there were definitely red flags in the relationship from the start. Amy and Gareth lived together and he was very possessive over her. Her friend says he wanted to know where she was at all times, you know, very controlling, being like, who was she with? Where are you going? And he was always checking her phone also. So he was very, like, insecure and controlling over their relationship.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. And the relationship was also sadly abusive. Amy actually filed a police report in May 2011 stating that Gareth had choked, suffocated, kicked, punched, and pushed her, as well as slammed her head into the ground. The sad thing about that, too, to hear, I mean, it's obviously sad overall, but the fact that that was in 2011 and they dated through 2012, it's just sad that, you know, she didn't get out and she stayed with him still after all of that.
They do say, you know, it's a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
To get out then, you know, because they get gaslighted and manipulated, and
mm-hmm.
clearly she probably had, which I don't know why, because she was a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But had self-conscious issues or self-confident issues or something was going on. Whether he tore her down over years just to keep her, you know, that's how it works. But, yeah, I hate that for her.
I know.
Especially because she was such a, obviously a powerhouse. She was successful. She was, you know, in production, you know, like, ugh.
Yeah. It is sad how someone can just, like, take you down, like, such a mental path, and it can just, like, warp your brain so much that you don't even realize what's happening is, like, so bad to you. So it's just sad that she was obviously in that position, because clearly he had a lot of issues.
Yeah, the story that I am working on now, which you'll hear in a couple weeks, kind of going through the same little
path thing. Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my gosh, like I just hate that has to be a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking, honestly, because,
because you want to wake the person up and be like, will you just freaking leave? But it's not that easy.
Oh, yeah, no.
And especially if she's scared, because this guy obviously has some issues, which, you know, I know 8 years has passed, but that's probably why it didn't work out there, sir.
Yeah, that's my big guess.
I mean, she'd probably like, I don't think I want to go back to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, her friend even said, after more stuff had happened and time had went on and things ended in 2012, it ultimately ended with her getting a restraining order against him because things just got so intense and serious. And, I mean, I'm so glad that she got that restraining order, but it even said,
it's just a piece of paper.
Yeah, it says the restraining order really didn't do much. It did little to stop him from continuing to just terrorize her, basically. Within a month, she believed that he had broken into her apartment. Her friend says it was very specific. Photo frames were smashed and her laptop was wiped clean. So it was like obvious things to make her know that it was him doing this. But there was no evidence to prove Amy's theory that it was Gareth. Of course there never is, but it's like she just knew. She had that gut feeling that he's the one doing this. And she even tried going to police, and they told her, well, there's no proof that it was him, so we can't really do anything. And, everybody says that she was just terrified because she felt so helpless. And 1 month before she was murdered, Amy actually ran into Gareth. She was attending an award show in Los Angeles. It was called X-Biz. And he was the red carpet photographer there. So I can't imagine how that felt for her, running into him. That probably felt like a big gut drop in her stomach. Her friend Koshlin says Amy hadn't seen Gareth in 8 years. And when she was on the red carpet, she noticed him taking photos. When he saw her, he made a beeline for her and started yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, "You ruined my life!" So dramatic. Which is like, sir, I think you're the one that's ruining her life because you abused her and then have stalked her and made her feel insecure and scared. But yet she ruined your life.
And the fact that you see her and that switch flips into anger so quickly, like, obviously it shows it doesn't take much for you to escalate to anger.
Yeah, for real. Clearly he's got a short fuse there. And even though she did change her phone number, it's not like she had the same phone number, somehow the next day, Gareth got her information. I don't know how long he had it for or whatever, but he began contacting her again. He kept texting her. He left voicemails. He was, like, crying. And eventually, she had to block him. And again, she was just constantly scared and fearful for her safety. Understandably so. So, police believe that Amy blocking Gareth really was the thing that kind of pushed him over the edge. Probably because he felt so out of control. Because clearly he's, like, a scary control freak, even when they were together. So probably him being blocked felt like he had no control over her anymore, and it probably just like drove him more mentally insane. Detective Avila says the theory is that once Gareth was blocked, detectives believe he prepared and began planning her death. All these actions show he was going to, in a way, punish her for rejecting him, and that he really thought about how to do it. So, kind of bringing it back to Amy's roommate, the one that called 911, Michael Harmon told police that she went out with friends for Valentine's Day, and he remembered waking up around 9 p.m. Detective Masterson said, Michael told us that he thought Amy came home and dropped a dish or a glass or just like a plate or something, and he didn't think too much of it. But police kind of believe that noise that he thought that he heard that was no big deal. They think that's when Gareth broke the front doors and entered the home to sit in it and basically wait for Amy to get home. Because blood was found by the broken glass doors, and an FBI analysis showed that blood matched her DNA.
Sorry, I wanted to look up a picture of him to see what he looked like.
Yeah. And it matched his DNA, too. So it was clear that he went through that window to get into the house.
Oh, my gosh.
So, actually, too, a neighbor of hers, they had, like, a camera on their back patio. And so police reviewed it, and it showed a man wearing gloves and a cap. And he came by, and he moved the camera. So it's like he knew it was there, like he had like been scoping out the area or whatever. And the guy in the video matched Gareth's general build. So they were like, that has to be, I mean, that's like, gotta be Gareth. It shows that this event was very planned and premeditated. Masterson says, has he been there before? Most likely, because he knew exactly where he was going to hop the fence. Which makes total sense. Like, he obviously must have been, like, stalking her and, like, scoping out her house. Because he knew about the camera. He knew about the fence. He knew about which door to break in. Like, all that stuff was, like... And he had never been to that place before. So he wouldn't have known unless he's scoped it out before.
I mean, I'm sure for the whole 8 years they weren't talking, he always knew what she was doing and where she was at. And,
probably.
And I feel like even, like, because with social media, like, social media is just a stalker's wet dream. Like, mm-hmm. you can find anybody, you know, if they forget to turn their locations off, or especially her who was in, like, was it CBS or ABC or whatever she was affiliated with? She had a lot of celebrities. You said she was a therapist?
She's a sex therapist, yeah.
So she's got a lot of high-powered people.
Yeah.
Somebody knows somebody of somebody, you know, just one of those things. And I just feel like, again, and the internet, it makes it so easy to find
people. I know, which is so sad.
I mean, even in the 80s and 90s, you could flip a phone book, and I remember thinking it was so cool. I looked up my mom's full name, and I found our phone number and address in the phone book.
Right, which is so crazy, because it's
like, okay. And yeah. Now you don't even have to look in the phone book and take the time. Now it's just like you type in a certain name, and you get like six different, you know, Isabella Smiths will pop up, and you just got to figure out which city is the one you want.
Yeah, it's so scary, like how easy of access people have to each other, because clearly it gets into the wrong people's hands and bad shit happens. So police then kind of put together their own theory of what happened. I think it was pretty, like, you know, pretty set in stone, pretty laid out, obvious that this was their guy that they're going after. Because she didn't have, like, enemies. She had nobody else that she was worried about. Like, this was the guy that she was worried about. Clearly, he had anger issues toward her and, like, resentment because she had just seen him and, like, very weird specific things, like, picture frames that he broke of them and stuff like that. So it was, like, kind of an obvious choice when they were going after him. So their theory kind of was that after he broke into her house, he laid in her bed and waited for her to come home. So her roommate told police that he woke up for a second time around 1 a.m. to the sound of Amy screaming. And that's when he ran to call 911 and get help. And the unknown man was seen on camera climbing back over Amy's fence and running around that time. So Masterson says, to me, this was a big moment. It's highly likely that he had targeted and planned his entrance and exit. And FBI analysis showed that, like, that syringe that I kind of talked about earlier with, like, the mysterious liquid in it, they tested it and everything. It was in her home, and it was filled with liquid nicotine, which is a poison that apparently is pretty hard to detect when they're testing. And weirdly enough, a similar syringe was found also when they were doing a search of Gareth's home. So, you know, coincidence? I think not. And Masterson...
They're kind of red to me.
Right, exactly. Masterson said Gareth's overall plan would have been to inject her with this poison and have Amy pass away, and nobody really would have known exactly what would have happened, right? Like, because his plan was to just inject her with this hard-to-detect poison. They might have just thought maybe she had a heart attack, maybe, like we don't know exactly how she died, but she just died in bed. But her autopsy showed that she was never injected with the poison, so the detective said it really appears that he couldn't inject her. Like, his plan that he originally had of going undetected failed. And he just, at that point, resorted to violence because he probably just didn't know what else to do. So he grabs her and he rips the necklace off of her neck. He starts choking her and she's fighting for her life. He picks her up. He walked to the balcony edge, and that's when he just dropped her to the bottom of the patio. And remember, she was like, I think she was three stories up, so there was some distance there. And she was still alive when police got there, but, you know, unfortunately, they weren't able to save her. But police then collected more evidence when Gareth was arrested, literally just 14 hours after Amy was killed. So they put this shit together quick. He had scratches on his neck. They were on his chest, on his arms. He had a large bruise on the inside of his bicep. And it also looked like he had, like, a big bite mark also, probably from her, like, fighting back. A jury agreed with the prosecution and found Gareth Pursehouse guilty of the first-degree murder of Amy Harwick. And he was ultimately sentenced to life in prison without parole. Now, Deputy District Attorney Catherine Mariano said, "I think Gareth decided to do this on Valentine's Day on purpose. I think he decided to kill Amy Harwick on a day that symbolized love and couples, and I think it was poetic justice in his mind." Which makes sense, like, you know, he did it on Valentine's Day. I think that was him trying to make a statement, you know? Which is just really sad and unfortunate, because she didn't do anything wrong to deserve this. He was just psycho. And I wonder if him seeing her at that event, I mean, clearly it triggered something in him because he just started screaming at her. But it had been years since he saw her, or at least since she noticed that he saw her. I'm sure he was, like, stalking her still. But I think that, like, flipped a switch in his brain and he just, like, lost his mind and really decided to end her life for, you know, whatever reason in his brain. I don't know if it's because she didn't want him.
If he can't have her, nobody else can.
Yep, literally. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I know, that's why I said
it. Yeah, exactly. That's 100% what it is. That's like,
no, she was a toy and no one else could play with her. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, she was the one that got away. She was just, he was filled with rage and jealousy. That's it. It was just,
yep. End of story, yeah.
And obviously he was sick. He had issues. And oh, yeah.
So unfortunate how some of these, you know, stories play out when, like, she just thought she just found a guy that she liked and she was dating him, and then things turned really ugly. And then she ended up losing her life freaking years after the fact. She tried to get a restraining order and better her life. And it's just sad that, you know, she wasn't able to be helped, even though she was telling people that she was scared and that she knows he's doing it, but police were saying they couldn't do anything. So it's just sad, because it could have been prevented if somebody could have done something.
Yeah, I just, like I said, even the restraining order, even if they were to give it to her day one, like they said, it's paper. It doesn't stop anybody.
Yeah.
Crazy is crazy, and I feel like the only way she could have prevented it is if she had protection, as in like a gun or something,
yeah,
and was trained on it. We have protection. My husband knows what he's doing, but in all honesty, if somebody broke in, I don't know that I would go for the gun, because I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I know to aim and shoot, but
yeah.
I don't go to the range to where I'm like
a pro or whatever. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's so scary. People are nuts, and it's just scary that you can't stop them from being nuts.
I know.
So, yeah, that was a sad story. Pretty recent, too, you know, just almost 5 years ago now that happened, so. Not too long ago.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. I mean, mm-hmm. Overall.
Yeah. Kind of shifting gears a little bit really quick, like about a news story in the Hollywood world that just happened. Jeff Baena's death, he was a Hollywood writer and director. He wasn't, you know, the face of anything, so you might not know exactly him, but he did do a lot in Hollywood. He was also the husband of Aubrey Plaza, the popular actress, which she's so, I feel like if you don't know her name and you Google her face, like, you'd be like, oh, I know who she is, because she's been in a bunch of stuff, and she's really funny and kind of awkward. But yeah, he died this past Friday. Actually, I don't know when you guys exactly will be hearing it. Let me see the date. He died on Friday, January 3rd, in his Los Angeles home that they shared together. And he was 47 years old at the time. He died from suicide, which is really sad. So he had been dating Audrey for 3 years before she starred in his, like, 2014 debut, which this was a big one for her. It was called Life After Beth. He also wrote on that as well. So yeah, they were together for a while. They did get married in 2021. And Aubrey and the family of Jeff, they did release a brief statement on Monday, just a few days after his death. The statement read, "This is an unimaginable tragedy. We are deeply grateful to everyone who has offered support. Please respect our privacy during this time." The statement was attributed to Plaza and the Baena Stern family. In addition to Aubrey, he, you know, was very close with his mother, his stepfather, his father, brother, stepsister, and stepbrother. So the family's super obviously torn up about this, and I read that his assistant found him, so I don't think that, you know, Aubrey was home at the time, but clearly he was going through mental struggles, and yeah, just sending love to his family and friends and his wife, because that's just a really, really horrible thing to go through.
Especially when it's suicide.
Yeah. Like, that's really, really rough.
You know, like we were talking earlier, you talked about the Twitch stuff.
Yeah. Well, we didn't talk about it on here, but yeah, even with that, too, like, Twitch, you know, who died 2 years ago now, which is so crazy, it's been 2 years, he died by suicide, and his wife is coming out with a book, and she just discovered that he had been using drugs. He had a bunch of drugs that she found in a shoebox in their closet. And she's like, I didn't even know any of this was going on. So it's like, that's just also a testament. Like, you really don't know what's going on in someone's head. And if they're, like, you know, doing stuff secretively, it's like, you can't blame yourself really, because it's, you really don't know what's happening behind closed doors or just inside someone's head.
Yep. It's, I think I, that was really, really hit true. The biggest wake up was the whole Robin Williams thing.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, he made people laugh. He was funny. He was an actor, successful, had a family. And the whole time he was miserable on the inside.
Yeah. You know? Which is, it's just, yeah, it's so crazy and scary and sad. Because it's like, you think, you see like the outside person and you think, oh, they're great. But you really just, you really don't know unless they fully open up to you, which a lot of people don't open up to people about stuff like that. So it's just really, really sad and really tragic. And yeah, if any of you guys out there are struggling with any thoughts of suicide, please call the hotline. Like, it's so important. Or talk to a family or friends, because there is so much more of your life to live and so many people will miss you that it's, I know it's probably hard for your like brain to comprehend when you're having such intense feelings, but it's not worth it at all. So definitely talk to someone.
Absolutely. Because if you hurt yourself in a way that you can't take back, not only are you missing out on life, but the people you left behind are now sad and missing out on having you there.
Exactly. So sorry to end it on kind of a sad note and downer, but yeah, that was just some sad news that hit a few days ago. So yeah, just again, sending love to his family and friends and anyone else out there who's struggling like that.
And one more thing before we go for the night, I want to put a disclaimer out there or an apology of some sort. I'm not sure if it wasn't the re-release, so it was either 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. There was an episode, and I swear I'm not making this up, my dog burps like a human, and Crystal was telling her story. And I could hear my dog burp in the background. And I'm like, oh my God, my dog burped and the show caught it. So if you heard that episode and you heard a minor burp in the background, that was not me nor any human life in my family being rude. That was my dog.
That was the awesome Phoebe.
So my dog does very human things. She watches TV, she scrolls through TikTok with her nose, and she burps.
She is really a one of a kind, and she's literally the coolest dog ever. So she was like, I want to be known in this episode, so I'm just going to belch because that's hilarious. So shout out to Phoebe, our mascot.
Yes. I love that dog. But sometimes I'm like, really?
She's awesome. But yeah, I think that's where we will leave you guys for tonight. And we'll see you next week.
And on that note, we got to go.
Stay creepy.
Bye.